Sip, Create, Repeat, a podcast where makers meet marketers and share their stories. So fill up your cup and turn it up.
Welcome to another episode of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. I'm your host, Chris Schneider. Alongside me is Pat Rauta, and today we have a special guest, Alicia. Alicia, Hi. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
For sure. My name is Alicia Hansen. I am the director of marketing for Lenique Specialty Linen. We are known for our linen rentals, but we also offer laundry services, labor services, custom purchase. So anything that you would think of in terms of linen needs for an event. So weddings, special occasions, all those sorts of fun things. In my spare time, I'm a local yoga teacher. I work in studios. Right now, I am part of the team for Groove Ride on the East Side, and I'm also known for my yoga pop-up. So right now, I'm working a lot with Platform Beer Company on pub yoga sessions. You get awesome. To do some yoga. Yeah, you do some yoga, and then you hang out as a big community of students, and you kick back with a beer that's included in your entry.
Sweet. Perfect.
And then in my spare time, I've been... We're a lot of hats. In my spare time, I've been... a local blogger for about a decade, and I started my blog in 2009. It started as a weight loss maintenance blog, but quickly evolved into what is really just a lifestyle blog.
Funny
with what
works.
I like to say, yes, yeah. With extra love for Cleveland. So yeah. It's a lot about, you know, just my life here in town, the places we go, the places we eat, the places we check out,
yeah.
And the partnerships I've been able to do over time with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm a mom and all that other stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, spare, spare, spare,
spare, spare, spare, spare. Yeah.
Spare. Right. A few followers on Instagram, a few followers
yeah.
on Twitter. Like you've really honed in and owned those platforms, which is awesome.
Yeah. It's interesting in the sense of the timing of social media in my career.
Yeah.
I was on a trip to visit my uncle who was stationed in Europe, literally the week after I graduated from Baldwin Wallace. And that's when we got the email from BW saying, we've welcomed Facebook. So you can now sign up for Facebook.
And oh, this yeah, is it was college,
05,
college
yeah,
account only.
2005, May of 2005, I was sitting in Germany signing up for my Facebook account because I had my yeah. old EDU address.
Right.
And through that arc, I was in early in my career, I was in nonprofit fundraising. So I was responsible not only for coordinating said events, but also marketing them.
Nice.
So that might sometimes just mean to your, you know, donors, but sometimes that was past that. And,
yeah.
you know, we already had Facebook as a platform. Then Twitter came along. And I just was like, this is really...
Twitter was awesome. Early
Twitter
was
it was
really good.
You know, the snark wasn't there yet.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, the
yeah.
people who were snarky, everybody was like, what are you doing? Calm down. It really was a really special place. Like, you think of the tweet ups.
Yeah.
You go
yeah.
way back. Like, actually...
Hashtag follow Friday.
Yes, all of
yeah.
that. You'd log on and be like, what? Oh, my God. I
yeah.
love that person. They just gave me a follow Friday. It was just like this very, like, supportive, interesting space. And you could still find it. But you have to dig a little bit.
It was supportive way back then.
And then, you know, things, you know, Pinterest pops up, and then, you know, I feel like I remember also Instagram rolling through and
yeah.
everyone just knowing like
right.
this is going to be gonna, a
yeah,
thing and
yeah.
everyone has got to be on it early.
Yeah.
So if you keep that, you know, lesson, if you will, mine was that I was just an early adopter
yeah.
to things. And
yeah.
for me, I just played and trial and error and just would post stuff
exactly.
and have fun with it too.
Exactly.
It had to be very authentic to me.
Right.
And that's probably where just most of my success with it all has
yeah.
come from is
yeah.
that I've just been very true with my messaging, very true with my audiences and try to have some fun in the process.
Yeah, that's the key. Like so mm-hmm. many people take it too serious. So many people see new social media channels as like a scary place, or okay, I'm gonna put time into it, but then it's just gonna fold up, right? Like Google Wave. Anyone remember
oh
Google
my gosh.
Wave?
Well, I'm even thinking like okay, pre-Facebook, even MySpace,
yeah,
like
yeah.
solid college days, and like
I know I just saw who is it recently? Someone that like on Twitter like put out a thing like remember when MySpace had us rank our top friends, like how savvy the platform was.
Top 8 or death.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it's been this wild, crazy ride. Also, then. Come in then to a position of being a marketing director.
Yeah.
You know, I was, again, marketing my own events when one of my vendors actually came to me and was interested in me freelancing for their social medias. They had platforms. They had somebody on staff who was doing Facebook, air quotes
oh,
here. And
love that term.
Yeah. They didn't want to be doing Facebook,
sure.
air quotes again. So, you know, they weren't sure what to do. And I ended up writing this very detailed social media plan that I think I could have ended up selling to them for much more, but they did nothing with it. And a year and a half later, I started as their full-time marketing director. Nice. And so I do everything from the social media sites, but, you know, website maintenance, email content creation, you know, talent as needed for special events, but we have a good time and it continues. Every day it's something new.
Yeah. Many hats is usually required in the social media and marketing space in general.
Yep. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are excited to have you here today. On this episode specifically, we're going to talk about Q1 content planning so that you guys can set up right for 2020. Let's actually make some New Year's resolutions that stick for once, right? Let's not give this one up. I think content planning is something that people struggle with in general, and they think it's some big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you just kind of mentioned it. There's so many different platforms and so many different outlets to actually put content out on. People get overwhelmed. So, like, what's a good way for someone to even just start, like, planning their content out to try and get ahead of things?
I know in our world, at least, being a company that provides rentals to events in general, I really live and die by my Outlook calendar. So even in that sense, it's a scan of the past year and sort of get a feel like, okay, for us, January through March, is bridal show season. Mm-hmm. It is lock and load. How many shows are we at? Get ready. You know, we want to be at the Today's Bride Show, IX Center, 10,000 people in 2 days. How many people can we see? Can we talk to? Can they come see our demos?
Sure.
And we're working with those partners very intimately. So I literally just take a scope of the year and I'll break it down by month. And so I know, like, I'm first quarter's bridal shows, second quarter I'm looking into like early wedding season. Sure. What can I share? Summer is very heavy with nonprofit events for us. So that's where we look for third quarter. And then fourth quarter, it's all holidays.
Yeah.
And so you can, I think it's, if you go big picture sometimes, it's easier than to brainstorm underneath those categories. Sometimes though, there might be that like one individual thing that is the make or break for your entire year. So I come back to the Today's Bride Show because it's probably one of the biggest projects I work on every year.
Yeah.
And it's everything from what the design of the booth looks like. And so we're doing sneak peeks of that on our social.
Yeah.
It's, you know, promoting tickets. It's giving away tickets. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, just connecting with other vendors in that sense. So that's my look. I think it's helpful in the sense of, you know, the event world, just because it is so natural. But that doesn't mean somebody who doesn't have something going on with their calendar every single day of the week can't do something similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, no matter what the like industry or service is, everyone kind of does have those like peaks and valleys in the year, you know?
Yes.
I think there's a lot of times when, you know, the, say, like a car wash or something.
Yeah.
Guess what? They're probably, they have their peaks.
Season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, especially in Ohio. So, I think there's a lot of different ways you can kind of like map out that year, like you were saying, and say like, all right, I know that I'm going to be heavy with events in July because that is when my like peak is. So, you know, maybe use those downtimes to then plan how you're actually attacking those busy months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now it's, while we're recording this, it's right before Thanksgiving. So we're looking at Black Friday and there's many people that don't even have their Black Friday plan in place yet.
Yeah.
And they're, if they're B2C, if you're selling direct to consumer and you don't have,
this is the biggest
then you're,
week
you're
of
a
probably
month behind.
Exactly.
You're a month behind. And this should have been started on your calendar a long time ago.
You might as well just do 2020 and
exactly.
call it.
Yeah, just start kicking into 2020. If you can get something together for like the winter holidays, Christmas and everything, then cool. But like, you are way behind for Black Friday. And there's so many people that thought I was nuts when I would, you know, start posting, hey, like Black Friday's coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start getting your plan together, especially when we work with e-commerce brands, Cyber Monday, Small Business Saturday, all those things in that are coming up. But I think it's a good way to look at it. Break it down month by month. See what, like, do you have something big coming in that month that is specific to your business or industry? And then like, take it from there. And it can be written down. Like, we use Google Sheets to do a ton of ours. So what we try to do is load up a Google Sheet with as much content as possible, given the month, right? We look at the month and we just load it with all the content ideas that we can find. And then we go through and we drop those into specific calendar dates.
I love that.
And put it into our content scheduling tools. So.
Yeah. And it also lets you look at like those quirky little holidays that maybe give you an opportunity to like,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
have some fun right. with a post. If you're light, if it's a light month, you can say, hey, oh, it's International Coffee Day.
So I will tell you, I have an affinity for pretzels. I've done a blog post about my favorite pretzels okay. in downtown what after like a random, you know, I will say Noble Beast Brewing has a okay. real nice doughy pretzel.
Okay, plug.
If you're into like an everything bagel feel, Masthead is okay. is yeah. your place. Okay. And that's a good size pretzel.
Okay.
The other one that I've not been to, but it's on the to-do list is Merwin's Wharf, with the Metro Parks. Yeah. Their pretzel is probably the size of a hubcap. And so I would like to think I could single-handedly take it on, but I should probably bring some friends so I don't feel so guilty.
I mean,
so we had done this event at the Madison, a venue, great venue on the east side. And Driftwood Catering had done a hanging pretzel display, and it was beautiful. And I had this fantastic photo of
Don't
our
you
linens.
Dare eat those pretzels.
Don't, I was like, I was basically like shoving people off, like before I then took half of them. But I sat on this photo and then was like, I'll use it. I'll find the right reason. Well, Pretzel Day rolls around, National Pretzel Day, and I'm, the
so
sky's
random.
Open. April 26th. I'm really weird about remembering very specific dates. So I was like, April 26th, and it was Pretzel Day. And so I made some like Stanley from the office joke and just rolled with it, and people love that kind of stuff. If you know, I think it's the humor too behind it, where you know, people want to laugh. You know, I can I can talk about the beautiful colors of you know, iris and peacock and all these sort of things, but like today's post was it was a very tight photo of a cake table, and so you know, I went with this, we're ready for our close-up and cake. We're always ready for cake, you know? So you get the point across, have a little fun with it.
Right.
But I love those holidays. Yeah, I love, I find ways to sneak
those,
them into.
Those are easy too. Like a quick Google search for like, you know, national days for, you know, January, February, March. And you can start to see all of those things. And then figure out a weird way to tie it into your business. One of the accounts that we manage social media for, Randy's Pickles, it was, what, Singles Awareness Day?
Yes, it was Singles Awareness
Day. The day after Valentine's Day, right?
Yep.
And so we smashed a jar of pickles in the driveway looking like, you know, like they were broken down. And we just, like, super close-up shot of this, like, smashed, depressing jar of pickles.
And people loved it.
And people loved it. Like,
I love it.
Huge engagement, and it went really well. And it was, like, some random day that I never really knew existed. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It was,
so
it was
we like to celebrate pancake days in our office, because there's International Pancake Day, but there's also National Pancake Day. And they're also about 6 months apart, which makes for a really nice balance throughout the year.
Your belly finally clears out.
Yes, exactly. You're really ready for another round of pancakes. But it's... For us, it's, we are known for our gatherings, our parties. Like, it's a joke, like it's a weekly thing at the Linique offices. So it's fun, though, because, you know, what becomes like an employee event, like on the HR side, also there's so much content around it.
Right,
so that's another thing to think about, is like what internally is happening in your company that you feel comfortable and are able to share, and also supports that idea of like, this is a great place to work. This is why we do this. Look at how much fun. And then I find our employees share that information more often than when I'm just posting a beautiful tablescape.
It makes them feel good. It's also, it's a social recruitment tool.
Definitely.
I mean, we've talked about this multiple times. Using social media, and one of the accounts that we manage now is B2B, pure B2B. And they use Instagram as just like, this is going to show off culture. This is going to show off who we are, what we do. That way, when they're going to colleges, and they have their little table set up at colleges, and they're talking with people, the first thing a college student's going to do is look them up. And so if
they're going to go on Instagram and not LinkedIn.
Exactly. So they're not going to be on LinkedIn yet. Then maybe their mom will send them something from Facebook, but like they're going to hit Instagram and they're going to see like, oh, this place looks pretty cool to work for. So yeah, maybe I will, you know, throw my application in there. So that's kind of the purpose of like B2B specifically in this realm for them, and they're using Instagram as a kind of a culture driver.
And I think that's like kind of the key piece of when you're planning your content, is that everything isn't going to be the same across every channel. You know, you're going to utilize different channels differently. Like you mentioned, they're using Instagram as a way to engage with their potential future employees. You know, they're probably going to post things on like LinkedIn that are more, you know, for potential customers or people like, you know, I think knowing how and what to post on the right platforms to engage with the right person you're looking to is huge.
Agreed. And it's maybe a little lazy of me to admit this, but I will use the same post essentially across the board, but that copy will change. Right. So I still have that beautiful same tablescape photo. Yeah. I might be able to get away with the sort of more comedic comment on Instagram or Twitter if I'm feeling snarky again.
Right.
But, you know, on Facebook, I might lighten it up, or on LinkedIn, I may make it more professional. So you can still take that base content, get people to where you want them to go, and just change a few words in the process.
Yeah, it's overwhelming if you're managing three or four different social media accounts at once, and then you think, how do I make, I don't know, 20 or 30 days worth of content? You're sitting here and you're like, I can't take that many photos of cool things to post. You can reuse those over and over and post them at different times.
Yeah, like, that's something we do a lot. We stagger them. You know, we post that photo for like on a Tuesday on Instagram, it may not go out till Friday on Facebook, and like you mentioned, the copy is slightly different.
So. Yeah, and I love that. I think it's just reinforcement, right? Yep. And they're like, wait a minute, I just saw this. Where what? That was on Instagram,
exactly,
you know. And
yeah.
I think just that it's repetition, right? It's you know, you think of like, how do you get good at something? You have to practice, which
10,000
means
hour rule.
over and over again. And in some ways, social media is the same thing. Where, you know, by now, if you don't know I teach yoga, then you. I don't know what you're doing on Instagram, to be honest with you. Because that is every day for me, part of my Instagram stories process is to share an upcoming post. Yeah. That's part of my consistency.
Right.
That's part of my repetition. Now, it's not it's not like I'm talking about platform pub yoga every single day.
Sure.
I'm talking about Groove Ride. I'm supporting my fellow teachers by sharing their events. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing that if somebody was going to say, hey, what do you know about Alicia Hansen?
Sure.
Oh, she's a yoga teacher based on that consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So I know we touched on a couple of those in that discussion, but what are some of the tools that you use to build out a content calendar and like schedule like content, right? I feel like that's also a big thing that people struggle with.
Yeah, this is going to be a very embarrassing episode for me because I'm so old school.
The most traditional digital marketer.
It's very traditional. At the age of 36, wildly social media extraordinaire, you know, guru or something. I'm a fan of natively posting in the app or on the site. I know, and it's so old school,
terrifying.
And it's terrifying. But I think it's just what I know. It's what I've worked. It's what I've used. It's what's worked for me. I've tried things like Hootsuite and like whatever else is out there, and I've just not found that thing that makes me want to use it. Like for me, I feel better about like, I'm going to jump into Facebook, schedule a whole bunch of stuff right there and know that I can then take it from there, right? You know, and it's supported. I can still support myself in the other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I tend to start with Facebook, schedule there accordingly, and then let everything else be supported from there. So I tell people that, and they're like, you don't use a scheduler? I'm like, no, sorry.
But at least you're scheduling.
It's still something. Yeah. It's still some form.
At least you're not like, oh, hold on, I need to get a post up today, so let me go through my phone and like, oh, there it is, done.
Yeah.
And you're getting into...
Yeah, you're still getting ahead.
Right, right. And I think that is helpful. There's also, like, Facebook Creator Studio is really nice, and I think it's going to get way better soon.
I'm fascinated to see how that evolves, because I think that you're going to get the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah.
The tool that, like, a Hootsuite with the scheduling, with the actual, like, native... posting where you know things are going to post correctly. You're not going to run into like syncing issues, things like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Boost with Facebook event that was hosted at the convention center last week. And that was one thing they mentioned. They're like, we're really putting time and effort into this. So I think that's something to keep an eye out for 2020. I think it's just only going to get better.
Yeah. Which would be nice. I mean, it's free. So Creator Studio
ding,
is
ding,
free.
Ding.
But also what I like about it too is you can go through and look at all your old stories and you can repost them or grab analytics on them if you're trying to like look at data on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you also can post your gallery images directly to Instagram, which you can't do on most of the scheduler apps out there. So if you want to put like that 4, 5, 6, you know, image gallery up on Instagram, you can't really schedule it in advance anywhere. Other than Creator Studio, which is awesome. Here we use Hootsuite. That's also because we're managing multiple accounts from multiple clients and ourselves, right? So it's a lot. It's a big ecosystem to try to kind of keep under wraps. So we needed something to kind of allow us to be able to look at a calendar and see, like, is there a day when someone doesn't have something scheduled? Because we can see every client that we manage and every social network that everything's scheduled on. They also have some pretty cool stuff like auto scheduling. So they try to look at like when you had the most engagement and when you had, when they think your audience is going to be online, the most, and
those
they
stats
schedule
are wonderful.
Around that time. Mm-hmm. So, cause usually it's like, I don't know, let's just early in the morning and hope that it hits. Right.
Right.
Now they're trying to be strategic with it.
I think those stats around user engagement around time and day are fascinating.
Yeah.
And Ian,
yeah.
And again, it, comes
it shows
back
you
to
how little people work too.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, what are you doing at 2:30, Bob? I think somewhere along the line, past life, I was a stats person.
Yeah.
Where I just find that whole analytical side of it really cool. So I think if you consider yourself like, yeah, I know social media, but you're ready to take it to the next level,
yeah,
like that's where you deep
dive
a little bit
metrics.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that helps with your planning overall, both in the short and long term, because mm-hmm. you obviously know, like, you know, Bob is really looking for something to do during his
yeah.
mid-afternoon
yeah.
break,
yeah.
but you know, maybe that's, you're trying to shift them. For some reason, you're trying to get them used to you posting a little bit earlier. That
right.
might be a long-term
right.
shift for you. I know in terms of blogger land, it was half of the people will be like, post when it works for you. They'll come to you. And the
yeah.
other ones are like, no, you got to find your audience.
Yeah.
Know your audience, know where
right.
they're at. And I've seen both approaches work. I think, again, I'm in the service industry,
yeah,
so I'm one of those
yeah.
like, I'm going to go out of the way to make sure that the people
sure.
who follow me are going to be able to find it as readily as possible
yeah.
and on their time frame.
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, the one thing I think is becoming more and more common is that, you know, social media isn't necessarily a one person job now. A lot of people have like multi person teams, you know, managing one like platform, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, whatever it might be. So
yeah.
do you have any maybe tips? I don't know if you guys do a ton of, if you have a multiple people managing one account, like how do you kind of help your team work like in sync together?
I will admit I'm a control freak and I have pretty much never shared my social media feeds
okay.
across
okay.
the board. So
yeah.
I won't have the maybe the most wisest in terms of experience levels, but I will share in terms of, when I think about when we're running campaigns, when we're using influencers, same
yeah.
concepts-ish,
okay. yeah. Yeah.
You know, even when I've coordinated it for on a third party or as an influencer,
yeah.
it's one of those like, Julia, when are you guys posting that really awesome beer photo? Because
right.
I want to compliment it with that really awesome pretzel photo
right,
from NASA.
Right.
And, you know, and whenever, I mean, unless there's a reason for everyone to post at 1 o'clock on Wednesday,
yeah.
the whatever,
yeah.
let's find an opportunity to space
sure.
out the messaging.
Sure.
So I think it's communication, right? And you just need to know what's the best way to communicate with your group. For
right.
some people, it's a third party app or it's that scheduler of Hootsuite
yeah.
because you can share accounts, you
right.
know, and such.
Mm-hmm.
If it's super in-house, then I think it's regular meetings around content and scheduling,
sure.
looking at the stats.
Sure.
Yeah, I just, I'm very, very much in control of my social media and will not share.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For us, it all evolves around like Google Drive and Google Docs
mm-hmm.
and all of
yeah.
those things, right? We have that Google Sheet that has a ton of content in there, right? These are, they'll pull out headlines or interesting like snippets, the link to it. But then we have columns in there for, hey, we need an image, right? So then send that to the designer to go get an image for this particular topic. And
mm-hmm.
then that designer needs to crop it down for Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, save out the formats, and then upload into that doc the Google Drive link, right? So there's multiple people hitting that document just to see and create the actual content.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is once, you know, the goal is to get out ahead of this and then they can see all these Google Drive links, then they can take that Google Drive link with all those assets and put it into Hootsuite and get as much of that scheduled out as possible, which is really helpful. So mm-hmm. it's certainly possible, and you can get, like, I know Google Drive's not that much money. You know, I think it's what, $5 a month per user.
Yeah,
I think
in the grand scheme of things, it's
yeah,
a latte.
Yeah.
I paid $6.50 for a latte the
yeah,
other
exactly,
day. So it's
exactly,
even cheaper
yeah,
than your
right.
daily latte.
Exactly. Exactly. So how far in advance do you feel like do you schedule or should somebody schedule content?
Yeah, I'm looking, I think of it actually similar to planning blogger events, probably
because yeah.
I am one. And
right.
I know when I get invited to one the day before, I'm practically laughing when I'm looking at my email. I'm like, this ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the duality between PR pitches being very used to media, traditional media, journalists and such, compared to this very, very wonky life of influencing. But I like that 4 to 6 week mark. I think that's just a sweet spot in people's lives where, you know, it's, I think of even meeting, like making plans with my girlfriends and say, like, we, naturally what happens is, like, we, well, here's all the dates. And it's always a month out. So I'll see you in 4 weeks, girls. Yeah, love you. But I think it's just really, really gives you a good feel of where you're at currently. What's happening around you and what's probably going to happen in those 4 weeks and still have some mobility to be like, Tuesday's not actually going to work. So maybe I need to shift over to Wednesday or whatever the case might be. I just think it's a very realistic time frame in terms of knowing where you're coming from, where you're going and the being nimble still at the same time.
Do you ever take and modify like some of your scheduled stuff, right? So you have stuff way out in advance and then you kind of look at it again and say like, oh boy, that might not work there.
Definitely. And some of it's because a bridal show got planned in last minute and all of a sudden we're doing this, or we will, God bless you all, I love you, all of my event vendors, but sometimes they call us like 2 days before a photo shoot and they want linens and we're happy to provide them. But that would make for really interesting content for even just on site behind the scenes stuff that, you know, I'm lucky that we are constantly getting amazing photography from our partners. And so I'm able,
especially the wedding and events.
We do some really slick events. And so I'm able to find a lot of content, but every once in a while something pops up. So I have to be, you know, flexible in that sense to be able to jump in and be like, okay, I can promote that that other bridal show the next day. And it definitely happens. You know, it's maybe it's just because, you know, being a mother of a 3-year-old, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think so, going through some of the training that we've gone through, like they recommend get your entire month like loosely scheduled, right? Here are the things we want to do on specific days of the week or specific dates, depending on if you have some of those like wonky holidays coming up. And then they have like super detailed posts 2 weeks in advance to make sure that like, okay, like you're not changing really 2 weeks in advance, because usually you know something's coming up or something has changed. But your month as a whole is already scheduled out. And then you know that you're filling in details as you go. So that was another way too. But yeah, I think 4 to 6 weeks, get out ahead of it. Because A, life is overwhelming.
Definitely.
Then you run into weird schedules and holiday seasons, right? Because
then we're in the middle of it right now.
Right. Like super short weeks, extended weekends. You don't want to be doing that stuff on the weekends. And I think like, so do you usually take a day or two in a week? Like, do you block out time in your calendar to plan content?
I live by my Outlook in terms of that work. And I actually, everything I end up planning, you know, long term or even short term, ends up in my Outlook calendar just because I am always looking at it and I know what content I'm working on at that time. And so I do the same with my, even the classes I go to for the gym. Like, it's the stuff that's important to me. I just heard it referred to as tiger time. Like, you guard it like a tiger. Idea. I love that. And, you know, this social media is a part of our regular lives now. Like, unless you have thrown your phone out a window, God bless you. I can't get away with that. You know, you're on it. You're on something. You are most likely at least on one platform. Whatever it is, own it, love it, embrace it, and just dive into it. And I know I need that time to just say, okay, here's some content writing. Here's some actually getting it into a platform. Here's the photos that's going. And, you know, just really taking that time, because I think otherwise, what's all that planning for?
You're not thinking about it.
Why spend that much time to find strategy around it if you're not going to implement it well and take the time to actually implement it well?
Yeah, I completely agree.
So since we are, you know, wrapping up the year, is there any good, I know you mentioned it's bridal show season for you, but are there any other good content ideas you have coming up for like Q1?
For us, it's going off of that same idea, is, you know, working through trends. Any day now, we'll be getting the Pantone color of the year for 2020, which is like, we salivate over. Right. We're like, ooh, what do we have in inventory? What can we add? And that's, I mean, I'll tell you, my very first email blast for 2019 was the Pantone color of the year, because we had happened to do a beautiful coral wedding at the Glidden House with Marigold Catering, like, 4 years prior.
Yeah.
So these folks were real ahead of the trend. And it was just some great stuff. They featured several of our products, and I was able to, you know, still get that wave and still bridal related, still wedding related. So I could still push that messaging, that overall arcing theme, and keep rolling with it. I think Q1 is just everyone. This is the yoga teacher in me. Everyone's looking for that fresh start.
Start fresh,
hit the beginning. You know, I love working out. I'm a yoga teacher. I work for a fitness studio. So
New Year's resolutions
all day long. But for us, we find our own niche in that. So it's about your own messaging, your own point of view within that maybe super generic theming, right? Like, okay, yes, we all want to lose weight after the holidays, whatever. Yeah. So, you know, but how can we at Groove Ride, you know, our big thing is transformation from the inside out. So we don't care how you show up physically.
Right.
We want you to work. We're going to, it's going to be, you're probably going to sweat. You're probably going to be sore tomorrow, but you know, if it's not your best physical class, but you have an emotional or mental kind of breakthrough epiphany during it, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and that's what we're going for. So that's what I love about Zosimo and Anjua. They're co-owners, husband and wife team, owner of Groove Ride. They're constantly reminding us as a team, they have like 50 people on this team by now. And, you know, it's, you know, yes, we're going to work you hard. We're going to teach you all you need to know about these physical aspects, but stay true to our messaging. We do not want, they've been very clear with us, do not say anything about burning calories so you can eat that turkey. Like, it's not like, you know, that's a big messaging point in the fitness industry, is that you don't have to work out just to earn your meal. And I think that speaks volumes about who they are as people and who Groove Ride is as a company. And it's that because of that overarching message that can continue all year round.
And I think, like, for us, I know we were talking in scheduling and planning for Q1. And I think a lot of it's going to be for us, it's at least the start of it is going to be updating WordPress sites, getting like so many people, you know, they have 500 spam comments that they've never cleared out, or they have plugins that are all out of date and stuff like that. And it's like kind of resetting yourself, right? So like when you're looking at how to plan content for first quarter, just figure out how like your customers or your clients need to hit that reset button.
Yes.
And speak to those pain points, because they all have them, even though they don't like to admit it, but they all have them. And if you can touch on those pain points with those people via social media, then you'll find like your engagement goes to the roof. And that's like, you know, a lot of our last podcast episode, we talked a lot about Facebook as a B2B tool, and people don't believe that it can be used as one when we feel strongly that it is one.
I'm 100% on my own experience at Lanique. Some of the best connections we've made on Facebook are with our vendors. Clients.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I think that's the fun part, right? Is that, you know, we do everything from when we're naming a linen, we're just like, we have no idea anymore.
Right.
We've used everything in the source.
Right.
So we put it on there. And, you know, one of our newest linens, a contact from Tri-C ended up naming. And she rents from us all the time.
Yeah.
And she was renting from us anyways. But I, you know, it's that customer connection. It's that continuing of the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that gets so overlooked in social media strategy, is that we are all humans behind these devices.
Exactly.
And one of the things I love to do is I've literally done presentations at conferences around taking your online community offline.
Yeah.
And like, yes, we can, these things are so vital. Like, and they do amazing work.
Right.
And how do we continue that? It's very easy this way. Like, I now have named a linen because of Kristen, right? But she's now using it, and that, like, I can then see her, like, you know, what it looks like in her event space and what it looked like at her event. And next time I see her, she's all excited because she just, like, I named that linen. Oh my God. Like, you know,
and she's going to talk about it.
100%. Right. So I've got my customer doing the marketing for me at this point too. And ding,
boom.
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you can get like user generated content, that's amazing. And I even think like, gosh, there's little stuff, right? Like we work with some food brands on their social media. And so you better believe between Thanksgiving and New Year's, like, we're going to take as many food photos as we can. And guess what? They can be used for next year.
Yep.
Like, okay, we might be able to post them real time to like stories and try to keep things up right now. But I'm looking at, okay, this awesome spread of stuff of food if I like remove a Christmas decoration, can it be used for any time of the year? Yeah, probably. And so then like you're building content by just taking a couple of photos, and I think just continue thinking of, look at the months, like break down month by month, see what's coming up, see if there are any easy wins. And I think people get too technical when they think about this stuff. They need to just simplify it and see if those easy wins are there. And if they are, then how can you speak to your like clients or customers' pain points via social media? And then I think the mindset will change a little bit. If you get out ahead of it, it's a lot less overwhelming. Because if you're sitting here going, I need a blog post for tomorrow, it's not going to happen. Or I need a Facebook post for tomorrow, like you're going to overthink it and you're not going to do the best job possible. So even in your scheduling phase, like build in some time for like revisions or to go back and look at what you did. Right. Like so many times I write stuff and I'm like, what was I thinking when I finally go back and look at it? And so like sleep on it, come back to it. And if you still think that it's strong, then schedule it. And if you don't, then change it until it is strong.
Yeah. It may seem like more work to be proactive.
Right.
But in the long run, it's a lot more work to be reactive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'll hit a stride. Right. If you can consistently get 2 or 3 weeks out, then all of a sudden you can load up a week and say like, I want to get another 2 to 3 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're 4 to 6 weeks and you're like, okay, now all I have to do is maintain.
Yes.
And now I'm looking at, you know, a month and a half, 2 months from now, and I can see, you know, what I need to, I can start identifying wins out there. And I can even take more time to create content.
Yeah. Like what I was going to say is it allows you to actually even be like more productive from like actually generating content standpoint.
Yeah.
If you're not saying I need to get these like photos taken so I'm having for next week, but it's like, hey, I know that event's coming up in 3 weeks. How can I maximize that event to give me the most content that, you know what I mean? You can actually plan out a little more and say, hey, we have that. Let's take full advantage of it versus just like, oh, it's happening. We need to now cover it, whatever we can, kind of scramble.
Exactly. Sometimes for us, that's hiring a entirely separate photographer because, you know, wedding photographers, you know, their focus better be on the couple.
Right.
They're going to want some detail shots. I never expect to get great detail shots of like a tablescape. Like it's kind of a bonus. And most photographers know by now, like this is part of the set. Right.
Yeah.
But we hire photographers a lot just to send them and be like, here's our photo list. Just like you would do for any other shot list. Right. And to say like, I have this brand new linen. I tell our sales team all the time, if you are seeing a new linen go out and you think it's worth our while to send a photographer, let me know. So that's again, the communication aspect of being, and that's multi-department. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a solo marketing team, solo woman marketing team, but our sales team has 6 other people on it. So I'm constantly communicating with our sales managers, the VP of business development, trying to I tell them, you know, at some point you get too much content of one thing. So for example, we have this wonderful cloth. It's called Gold Radiance, gorgeous pattern, reversible. It went out like all the time when we first got it. And everyone was like, look at these great photos. Gold Radiance, Gold Radiance, Gold Radiance. And I had to put a moratorium.
Too much of
like
one thing.
If you're doing a photo shoot, you cannot use this for the next 6 months. I need you to use one of the other 3 colors we bought in the Radiance collection.
Yeah.
So
I
think that's, you know, it's keeping an eye on your supply too of just content overall that you're building for yourself and knowing that sometimes too much of a thing is too much of a thing.
Yeah.
So
I think you can identify that easily on Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at your feed as a whole. And if you start to see like the same style over and over and over, or the same post over and over and over, then you know it's time to change some stuff up and kind of put a couple of different wrenches, you know, throw a different wrench in the feed and see what happens. And usually it's well received too. Like don't get super far off of your aesthetic overall, but usually those sorts of things are pretty well received.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Alicia, we want to thank you for being here. You can follow her Twitter, Instagram, all of it at
Alicia M, as in Marie, Hansen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
As always, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and leave a review for us. The best way we can continue to grow and serve our listeners is by having you guys leave reviews for us. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you.